Hello, and welcome to Unit 11 of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. This unit will focus upon future directions for health information technology. New areas of research and development in HIT will be examined. Students can gain an understanding of these areas and will debate appropriateness and feasibility of new HIT development areas. We are encouraging some out-of-the-box thinking in this unit. The learning objectives for Unit 11, Health IT in the Future, are as follows. By the end of this unit, the student will be able to speculate on the relationship between HIT and health reform in any form, whether it be the Accountable Care Act, consumer lobbying, financial mandates, or whatever. The second objective is to suggest alternative designs for usable HIT. And it deliberately does not address the quote-unquote user. How can we possibly begin to address this objective without defining who the user is? How can we make HIT supportive if we don't specifically focus on a targeted user group? Well, this objective is not designed to address just one user group. Over the past 11 units, we have discussed a variety of users, clinicians, patients, families, just to name a few. Anyway, the goal of this objective is to encourage you to think in the abstract at first, and then begin to narrow down based on who your customer is. So we hope that over the course of all these materials, that you have a better awareness of how to identify your user base, how to begin to understand their needs, and how to support their needs with usable and supportive HIT. The third objective is for students to be able to hypothesize about how HIT may intersect with publicly available data to improve health, such as point of sale data, weather data, geographic information system data, food sources, and the like. And then finally, we would like for students to think out of the box and predict avenues of future innovation in HIT. I mean, what does this have to do with the image of the iPhone that's there at the top of the slide? Well, just stay tuned. Regardless of your political leanings, I think we all understand that our healthcare system is in trouble and must be fixed. Healthcare costs have been rising for many years. Expenditures in the United States on healthcare surpassed $2.3 trillion in 2008. That's more than three times the $714 billion that we spent in 1990, and over eight times the $253 billion spent in 1980. Stemming this growth has become a major policy priority as the government, employers, and consumers increasingly struggle to keep up with healthcare costs. This is further complicated and compounded by the fact that for all the money that we spend in healthcare, the U.S. is still a poor performer on the international stage. The Commonwealth Fund ranked the United States last in the quality of healthcare among similar countries and notes that U.S. healthcare costs are the most by far. The reference for that is with Bob Rohr, 2008. Healthcare in the U.S. ranks lowest among developed countries. That was in the British Medical Journal, July 21st, 2008. The Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010, also called the Accountable Care Act or shortened to ACA, was signed into law early 2010, and it has catalyzed efforts to radically transform the current way that care is provided and reimbursed. Hopefully, from prior lectures, you may be able to think of some of these ways that HIT can change the way care is provided and may assist us in getting a handle on expenditures. But otherwise, how does the ACA, the Accountable Care Act, relate to HIT? Well, the ACA has charged the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, to create something called a Center for Innovations. With a $10 billion, as in B, billion dollar budget to identify and test promising new models for delivering and paying for healthcare. As Berwick says, patients need journeys of care, not fragments of care. And we must figure out how to take those promising new models to remove the fragmentation that is so common to healthcare today. In the Accountable Care Act, Section 3501, Part 933, also calls for the Agency for Healthcare Quality and Research, AHRQ. It calls for the AHRQ Center for QI and Patient Safety to, quote, identify, develop, disseminate, and provide training in healthcare quality, safety, and value, and to, quote, provide for the funding of these activities of organizations with recognized expertise and excellence, improving the care of healthcare services, including children's healthcare, by involving multiple disciplines, managers of healthcare entities, broad development and training, patients, caregivers, and families, and frontline healthcare workers, including activities for the examination of strategies to share best quality improvement practices and to promote excellence in the delivery of healthcare service. I know that's quite a mouthful, but if you actually want to look for that in print, you can just pull up the ACA Act of 2010, go to Section 3501, and within there is Section 933, and you'll find it. In addition, the practice of telehealth is expected to expand significantly as a result of the health reform bill's emphasis on increased access and cost savings. CMS actually issued a proposed rule at the end of May 2012, streamlining the credentialing process for telemedicine providers at distant hospitals. Again, regardless of your political beliefs, health IT in the future will play an increasingly significant role, and we must create the HIT workforce capable of driving this change forward. This website on the slide is a federal government site that is very educative and may help you to deepen your understanding of the relationship between health reform and HIT. The URL is on the slide. Now, the video highlighted here on the screen is purely elective in nature. There is no closed captioning nor transcripting available. So at the same time, even though we don't have the captioning or the transcripting, it's far too good and frankly hilarious in spots not to direct you to this. It's also quite long. It's about 40 minutes. So please don't look at this slide as a mandate. It will not be included in the assessment for this particular unit. It does, however, speak to very interesting aspects of HIT and where many of us hope it will go and not go in the future. So please put the link aside and watch it sometime when you have the opportunity to do so. This link was active as of October 25th on the California Healthcare Foundation site, and it is a talk by Dr. Mark Smith called Health IT, Hope, Hype, and How to Avoid the Road to Hell. If you let your creative juices flow and begin to think about how HIT can be designed in alternative ways, this is the second objective for this unit, and then to predict future avenues for innovation in HIT, which is actually the last objective for this unit, it can become both a fun and a scary exercise. You will have users approach you with a variety of ideas of how to make something better, be it the layout of a screen or to build a new technology that can be used to support smarter, easier, and safer healthcare. Many of those ideas will never come to fruition. Good, because some of them could be downright bizarre. But the takeaway point is that an important characteristic of someone in the HIT field is to be open-minded and to embrace change. As we've discussed in prior units, change is not easy, but HIT and change, it's just part of the job. It's also important that you help others to embrace change and think creatively about new ways of doing things. That requires that you be a good listener and an educator. So you have to listen to what your users are saying, then assume the role of a teacher and provide the pros and the cons of a selected approach. This will help them to better understand. Remember, a rising tide lifts all boats. Here are some of the alternative designs for HIT that are floating about in the fall of 2010. Wearable computers, like the watch-type device pictured here. Designers are trying to develop HIT that works for both patients and providers. So sensors being woven into clothing, similar to NASA and the astronaut technology, it can allow detection of changing physiologic parameters such as pulse, temperature, glucose levels, etc. And these can be captured and then transmitted for health reasons. Maybe there is or will be wearable technology that helps the elderly to stay longer in their homes by allowing caregivers to track activities. So it's sort of similar to the old commercials, "I've fallen and I can't get up," that instead of requiring an action on the part of the user to activate, wearable technology is automatic. Of course, a lot of people have questions about privacy and protecting the right of the patient or the user, and this is something we must never forget. Using such an invasive technology requires permission by the patient, of course. Otherwise, we may end up as Big Brother. Continuing in this vein, another quite controversial modality is the use of implantable chips for health. So many people have their pets chipped with a sensor. It's about the size of a grain of rice pictured above. And there is actually an FDA-approved device called the VeriChip, which is being used in humans. There are many pros and cons, of course. A pro may be that if you have a chipped Alzheimer's patient who slips out undetected and becomes lost, can readily be identified and returned. And the quote-unquote chipmobile has been spotted in many elderly communities in Florida. There are upticks in use in Japan in kidnap prevention strategies. I suppose others may say that having an implanted chip with an encrypted ID that links to your online medical record may save your life if you collapse on the street and require emergency medical care. On the other hand, there are many religious and cultural issues to be considered, privacy and security concern, and just other factors that seem to just sort of invoke this, what I call the creepiness factor in many. Mobile solutions for mobile clinicians is another very important area where HIT innovation is needed. Initially, back in the day, clinicians were happy to get a computer in the nurse's station. So we didn't have to go to the medical library, if one even existed, to access online resources. Yes, I know, I'm dating myself. Quickly, however, the need far outstripped the availability of a single workstation in the nurse's station. So numerous machines were needed, and inevitably the queue at shift change and before and after rounding became nightmarish. So soon, computing technology actually moved into the room as a permanent placement. But as the budgets required for one machine, one patient, shifted procurement in another direction, things began to change. Computers on wheels, or COWs as they are known, or sometimes WOWs for workstations on wheels, if you don't want to be accused of pushing a cow around in your unit, it became the rage because mobile computers seemed to be the right thing to do. Unfortunately, the issues of pushing 60-pound computers around, dealing with the disinfection aspect, since computers can become vectors for transmitting bacteria from hands to keyboard and then directly into another room and to another patient, And then also the challenge of charging the batteries has contributed to the standard designed cows edging towards becoming a dying breed. iPhone apps for health are expanding by leaps and bounds. The more interesting development, however, at least in my opinion, but is not so much in the apps, but in the growth of the concept of an iPhone-like architecture for housing the apps. Could we not have an HIT architecture that allows such creativity to bloom and then run on an open platform? There are already thousands of iPhones out there, but they only run on iPhones. So stay tuned to the work coming out of Harvard. Dr. Zach Kohani and Dr. Ken Mandel, who were funded by one of the Office of National Coordinator SHARP grants, are conducting very rigorous and deep research in this area. Take the iPhone apps idea and then combine it with smartphones, not just cell phones, and it seems to be a very promising area for future HIT development. Think about it. Portable, small, explosion of cellular connectivity around the world, an area that is already growing, but it does seem to be particularly amenable for more growth in health and healthcare. Finally, robots. Many healthcare institutions already have robots that deliver meal trays and supplies, and they fill pharmacy orders, etc. However, there is a growth in using robots similar to the one pictured here to actually visit with a patient. This is not to imply that a robot can replace human contact. And it's also important to note that a robot doesn't mean some sort of scary sci-fi pile of metal. Bots can be great ways to connect folks with one another, allow a visiting nurse to visit without being there, allowing a faraway specialist to see a patient right in their home. Bots can distribute medication, take vital signs, educate, and so on. A visiting nurse can visit every day instead of twice a week because of the loss of the need to travel and the saving in time. Anyway, there are many areas where HIT can grow. We'll watch a video shortly that may also help to stimulate your imagination and creative thinking. This completes part 1 of Unit 11.